Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
I'm the president of Tough Enough, and I've been with Tough Enough for over 30 years, since the very beginning. I was like a karate kid growing up, and then when the UFC first happened, my brother and I were instantly hooked, and it was like my brother used to say, love at first fight.
I love that quote. I love that quote. Do you mind if we jump right into student questions?
No, please. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Very cool. So some of the kids email me ahead of time, and you guys, again, who are live, feel free to message them in the chat, and I'll let you ask. But when you and your brother, Barry, and by the way, Barry's a legend, and you know he was just one of the greatest guys ever. When you guys started Tough Enough back in 1994, what was that like, the conversations with you and Barry? And like, because it was cutting edge in 1994. Like, how did that conversation even come about?
Good question. Thanks, Ralph. The honest answer is, as I described, we were karate kids growing up. Okay. My brother had his black belt at 12 years old. And we were always so impressed with his athletic ability. He was a true martial artist and very precise and powerful. So like I said, karate was a big part of our lives growing up. And then when one day my brother stumbled upon an ad in the TV guide back way back when the very first UFC was being advertised, and he told me, Jeff, there's this event that we got to check out. It says the different martial artists like karate versus wrestling and kung fu versus jujitsu. And at the time, we didn't really know if it was going to be real or not, because it was the first time that this sport has ever been tried in the United States. So once that, as I said, that event happened, my brother said, this is something he's got to be involved with. His life sort of led to that epiphany, if you will, of seeing this amazing event that was something that we kind of thought it was the truth in martial arts. And what I mean by that is, we always thought karate was the best form of self-defense or martial art for self-defense, but clearly the UFC proved we were wrong. So when we saw the first event happen, we said, wow, this is real and true. And maybe all that stuff we've been learning in karate wasn't so effective. And we immediately switched to jujitsu. But as I say, you know, it was something that my brother just knew instantly. It was something he had to, wanted to be involved in, because our whole life growing up was centered around the martial arts. And one other thing I'd like to add, please, I think it would be important, is my brother's childhood idol was Chuck Norris. And I'm so happy to tell you guys, my brother ended up being selected by Chuck Norris himself, believe it or not, to promote an event, a kickboxing event that Chuck was starting here in Las Vegas. And my brother had the opportunity to fly in a helicopter to Nellis Air Force Base here in Las Vegas to meet with the troops and donate a bunch of tickets. And it was like a culmination of his, like, you know, lifelong dream to be a promoter and to meet his childhood idol, Chuck Norris. I'm really proud to tell you that story.
That is amazing. I didn't know he met Chuck Norris. That's great.
That was such a cool thing for me to see my brother kind of come full circle. Is I can tell you, in like a little childhood book he wrote, to ask, you know, like, who's your favorite idol and what's your favorite sport and blah, blah, blah. And he wrote that Chuck Norris was his idol. So when he got to accomplish that goal of actually meeting and working with Chuck, it really made me proud of him.
Yeah, Barry was a legend, and he's helped so many countless people in and around our community, with the MMA community and also here in Las Vegas. And, you know, there's not much time goes by that I don't think about him. He's a wonderful, wonderful individual. And so one of the kids, they wanted to know, what is the most rewarding part of continuing after taking over for your brother's legacy? Like, what's the most important thing for you, because you are really pushing for his legacy and you're doing a wonderful job?
Well, thanks, Ralph. I think that to answer the student's question, the most important thing for me is to continue the legacy that my brother built which is to provide a safe and fair environment for athletes of any skill level. I think the most rewarding thing for me is when I see like a former tough enough fighter make it into the UFC. That for me is the seeing their dream come true is what my brother really wanted tough enough to be all about. So nowadays, I think about my brother often too. And thanks for such nice compliments, Ralph. Thanks for being good to my brother while he was here. And I think that I feel as if he's proud, just like I am, to see these kids, I call them kids, but these fighters, when they make it to the UFC, it's a real pat on the back and a testament, I think, to my brother's vision from way back in our very first show in 1994.
That's wonderful. And it's like you guys are now like both Jeff and Barry, the Myers brothers, you guys are synonymous with MMA. You know, after a few decades, you guys have cemented your place in history, which is absolutely amazing. So I know it's getting kind of late for some of our kids in Eastern Europe. So one of the kids from France asked, and they wanted to know, what qualities do you look for in a fighter who you believe could go pro?
Okay, very good question. I think that a fighter that's in the MMA world, it's a little bit different than boxing. And what I mean is, boxers have historically had over 100 amateur fights before they turn professional. MMA, it's much different. You guys would be surprised. Some of these fighters, after like three or four fights, I'm so tough, and they pound their chest and they want to go pro. But in order to feel safe, I think it's most important to find a fighter that's got a lot more than just like, let's call it three, four, five fights in MMA. They have to be well-rounded. And what I mean is they have to have experience in jiu-jitsu tournaments, boxing, kickboxing, and MMA. I mean, boxing, not necessarily as much, but I look for a fighter to be well-rounded. And with, of course, a positive record, in other words, a winning record, I think is the safety is of most importance for me to feel safe that are comfortable that a fighter is ready to go pro. I need to feel that he's safe in there, he or she. So to answer the question, I think we look at records, experience, and also a big part of it is. Is the fighter a good representation of tough enough? And in other words, are they respectful? Are they hardworking? Are they in the gym putting in the time? Or are they just like, we've had these kids, fighters that have come through and talk a big game, and then they get in there, and within 1 minute of the first round, they can't breathe and they're huffing and puffing. So it's really important to make sure that the fighter is well-rounded and also hardworking, good representation of tough enough if we're going to give them that, platform to turn pro.
And you guys have a lot of fighters who get back in the community too, which is really cool. I think that's awesome that it kind of preps them for that professional life as well. We have a question from Hugo. Hugo, you can unmute. Hugo's in Spain. Go ahead and ask, friend.
What martial arts are the most important to learn to be able to fight in MMA?
Oh, thank you for the question. I think that historically, jiu-jitsu and wrestling are the two most, core fundamental martial arts. Historically, that was in the earlier days of the UFC, that was, of course, no questions asked, the number one discipline to study. But now that we see the sport evolving so much, you do see a lot more strikers, kickboxers and people that maybe have a background in boxing as well. So I still think that the core is always going to be wrestling and jiu-jitsu. And the reason I say that, you guys, Hugo, mucho gusto, yo hablo español también un poquito. But I think that it's always going to be wrestling and jiu-jitsu because here's the truth, you guys, in a fight, whether it's in the cage, or, God forbid, you're attacked and you're on the street fighting, 9 out of 10 fights end up going to the ground. Somebody falls, somebody tackles somebody, somebody trips. So almost every fight always ends up on the ground. And if you don't know how to protect yourself and grapple on the ground, then you're in big trouble.
That's yeah, that's absolutely phenomenal advice, you know, there. So you guys who are fight fans, jiu-jitsu number one right there. One of the kids emailed, they want to know, can you share a memorable moment from a Tough Enough event that really sticks out in your mind from, this is almost like 30 years, right?
Yeah, thanks, Ralph. One of the most memorable experiences, I think, was our Thomas and Mack event. We did this event at a huge facility called Thomas and Mack here in Las Vegas. It's on the campus of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and it holds like 18,000 people. And shortly after my brother passed away in 2014, we did this free event at the Thomas and Mack, and we had 16,000 people in there. That was a tribute to my brother. I thought that was the most fitting way I could think of to honor him shortly after his passing. So I remember it well, you guys. I was in there so nervous as you could probably imagine before the event and wondering, is anybody going to show up or not? And then I remember looking out, if anybody here is a local to Las Vegas. We were looking out from the balcony of the Thomas and Mack on Tropicana, and traffic was backed up all the way to past the Las Vegas Strip. This is over a mile. So there were cars in line for over a mile to turn in to the Thomas and Mack and come to this event. So I remember being in there and hearing all the thousands, as I said, 16,000 people in there. That was one of my most memorable Tough Enough experiences. Sadly, without my brother, but thanks for asking. It was a great honor to be able to provide this opportunity for the community to help honor my brother, and boy, was it special.
Yeah, absolutely. That was yeah, I remember that. That was massive. One of the kids, because obviously we studied a bit about history of Tough Enough, and there would be no women's MMA if it wasn't for Tough Enough. And one of the kids, they wanted to know, what was it like when you guys first started allowing women to fight in MMA, because that wasn't a thing in the UFC. Tough Enough was the first organization to do that.
Yeah, so great question. And you know, the truth of the matter is we were the first, I believe, in Nevada, but there was an all-female MMA event happening in Evansville, Indiana. My friend Jeff Osborne was promoting this event. My brother and I went in, as I said, it was in Indiana, a town called Evansville. It was all females. We're talking the early 90s, way before any of you kids were born. And so we were aware of women's MMA and we knew that it was absolutely important. It just was so uncommon and like unheard of at the time. So we went, as I mentioned, out to Indiana to watch this fight and we fell in love. Similarly to lots of people, I think, that aren't sure if they're going to like it, the first time you see female or women's MMA. It can be quite impressive because these girls are in the gym training just as hard as the guys are. So you see some phenomenal talent and incredible techniques when these women are competing. So the question was, you know, how did we feel about it in the very beginning of allowing women to compete in Tough Enough? And we were very supportive and opened them with open arms. My brother said, we always have to be about providing opportunities for all athletes. So while it might not have been a common thing or a very popular thing back then, my brother knew it was very important. And boy, was he right, because as we've seen now, the women's division within the sport of MMA has grown so much. And, you know, I think it provides lots of opportunities for little kids, like maybe some of the kids, little or big, who are on this Zoom call now, to have a goal. And, you know, now we see a lot more girls in jiu-jitsu classes and taking taekwondo and kickboxing. And so coming full circle, I'm so glad that my brother started doing this way back when and providing the opportunities so that you could come full circle to fast forward to today. And as I said, you know, we see a lot of women in the sport and in the gyms, and it's truly inspiring.
Amazing, amazing. Yeah, you guys are a big part of sports and entertainment history. We'll go with a couple more student questions and then let you go. One of our kids, they want to know, how do you see the future of MMA in the next 5 to 10 years as it pertains to sports and entertainment? We see there being like a connection between the UFC and the WWE. Like, is that like, do you see it being evolved on more of an entertainment side or just the traditional octagon and that's it?
Well, that's a very good question, and I think that the truth of the matter is, while the WWE and UFC are two totally different entities, I think they complement each other well. And I'm happy to say that, I can see the growth between these two different sports, if you will. WWE, as we know, was in Las Vegas for this WrestleMania this weekend, and I read that it. The economic impact to the state or the city, specifically Las Vegas, could have been greater than the Super Bowl. Okay, now that's incredible, you guys. This WWE is so popular, and the fans are so passionate that I think that it's only helping to sort of complement each other's audiences by exposing the UFC fans to the WWE events. And similarly, exposing the WWE fans to the UFC stars. I think that it's to answer the question, I think that's a powerful complementary relationship that will likely continue for many years to come because, as I said, I think that it's working. And by these two massive powerhouses combine and help each other to reach each other's fan bases, that can only help to grow the sport in terms of its the each other each in terms of each sport's respective popularity and ultimately the amount of people that are competing in it, I believe will only increase the more and more the exposure and the eyeballs that come from promoting each other.
Right. Yeah, that is a very valid point. Before we let you go, I always ask this of all of our guests, Jeff Meyer, is there any advice that you could give to these kids as they go off into the world and kind of figure out what kind of paths they want to go down professionally, whether it has to do with sports and entertainment or something completely different? What kind of advice do you have for them?
Well, I think that, gosh, the advice I would offer is discipline, discipline, discipline. Now, this is something that I learned as a young kid in the martial arts. Like I said, I was a karate kid, although that wasn't the most effective self-defense that we learned. But the discipline, respect, and honor that is instilled or taught in the martial arts, I think is a very important thing in life. Look, I think there's a question you get a lot more flies with honey or bees with honey or something. And my point is that if you're a good person, you work hard and you put in the effort to excel and to succeed in life, then I think you'll be rewarded. It's a lot harder to do than maybe most people want, but I find that all of my friends and people I know in life that are successful put in the hard work and the discipline early. Now, I'll just give you an example. When I was a kid in like school, I don't know why, but I was fascinated with the newspaper. I read the newspaper every morning from front page to last page. Of course, skip over stuff, but sports was a big section I would spend a lot of time on. And I think that some of the discipline that I learned in the martial arts carried through to my years as a student, and then hopefully as a business person in the professional world, by working hard, I think you can do anything in life, guys. And I thank you so much for having me. I hope to see you all at a tough enough event, whether you're sitting in the crowd as a fan or in the cage or maybe working as a ringside official. I really hope to see you guys in the future.
You are absolutely wonderful, Jeff. And guys, to learn more, go to toughenough.com and we'll be sharing all those links and all their socials when we release this video. So, Jeff, before I end the meeting for all, traditionally, I allow everyone to unmute. Can we all say thank you to Jeff Meyer from Tough
Thank
Enough?
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.